Hey friends, welcome to episode 99 of Motherhood in Hollywood. We are talking today about water safety in and around the water with your kids. Do you know how to keep them safe in the water? What tips and tricks are you using? Well, we're going to talk about it today with our guest. Here we go.
Hello, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 99 of Motherhood in Hollywood. Can you believe it? I am almost to 100 episodes of this podcast, and it has been an incredible journey, to say the least. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that next week for episode 100. This week, however, I want to tell you about our guest. My guest is Lisa Cook. She is the CEO and founder of Kid Swim here in Los Angeles. And we're going to talk about water safety. Summer is coming. I've already bought some of the cutest bathing suits for Channing, not for myself. But for Channing. And, you know, she's four now. So water safety is something I feel like she should have a better handle on. She loves being in the water. Oh my gosh, she loves it so much. And I just want her to be more confident in the water. And I personally would like to be more confident around the pool and not, you know, I don't want to say let my guard down, but not have to be quite so hoverboardy, you know, like hovering over her every second in the water. I would like for her to have some skills. So I wanted to talk to an expert about that, about, you know, the appropriate ages to start everything and, you know, all that stuff. There's lots of good stuff in here about water safety for you and your kids. And this is something parents really should pay attention to. Do you hear me? Pay attention, kids. We've got something informative coming your way. Sorry, I'm in a silly mood today. Anyway, so let's talk about what's been going on. Little mommy monologue moment. Last week, I officiated my best friend Heather and Mark, their wedding. And it was so exciting, but also I was so nervous because you don't want to mess up someone's wedding. I mean, they had invited, it wasn't a huge crowd. I think they had like maybe 70 people there. But still, you want to make sure that you get across the right amount of sentiment and you have to do all the legal stuff too, which I didn't know about. I had to do a little research there. But also I wanted it to be fun and funny and memorable. For them and for the people who were there. So I hope that came across. I'm so excited for my friends. I know that they're taking you guys. How luxurious is this? These are people without kids, mind you. They're taking like 6 weeks of honeymoons. They're going like all over the place. They're going to Arizona, to Vegas, to Napa, to where else are they going? Who knows? Cabo, Hawaii. I don't even know. But I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember those days before we had Chan, where we could just sort of pack up and travel. Of course, I say that, but we never actually really did. I think we went to Vegas a lot more than we do now. You guys, I miss Vegas so much. Pretty sure Vegas misses me too. That's a trip I want to take, but I have to like save up for a long time. I'm a major gambler. I'm not coming out here as admitting that I have a problem, but let's just say I do. I totally have a problem. I would gamble everything away if I could. It's probably good that I'm not a multi-bajillionaire because I would literally be in the high roller rooms. I remember one time reading an article about Ben Affleck being in the high roller room or something. I don't know if he was in the playing poker or what. At one of the big casinos, the Bellagio, Caesar, something like that. Anyway, he was gambling away like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, in a night. And everyone was like, oh, how could he do that? That's so much money. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm jealous. I wish I could. I wish I had the luxury to just be like, I bet 200,000 on red or whatever. But anyway, little tangent there. I've admitted I have a problem. So coming up this week, I'm so excited. I'm going to be going to a TV Guide and Fox event with Gordon Ramsay to celebrate his new show, The F Word, that's coming out on Fox. I'm also going to be going to a special taping of that. Well, it's not taping, it's live. I'm going to be going to the live show with Gordon Ramsay in the coming weeks. I'm looking forward to that as well. I also have some really great guests coming up yet, but I can't announce it. I've been put on sort of like a embargo, I guess. I don't know if you could embargo podcasts, but apparently you can with mine. So I have some pretty big guests coming up and I'm super excited. So stay tuned for that, you guys. I also haven't decided yet what I'm going to do for the 100th episode. So I guess I need to figure that out pretty quickly. Get on it, Brooker. All right. In the meantime, let's listen to this interview from my guest today, Lisa Cook. She is the CEO and founder of KidSwim here in Los Angeles, talking about water safety and how you and your kids and your family can be safe around pools this summer. Here's Lisa. So summer is coming up, and that means a lot of us are going to be hitting the pool with our kids, as well as the beach. And if you're anything like me, you have water safety is top of mind. And that is why I'm so excited to have Lisa Cook from KidSwim here in Los Angeles as a guest on today. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Heather. Thank you so much.
Now, Lisa, you are the owner, CEO. I know we just talked about your many titles for KidSwim. tell me a little bit, first of all, about what is KidSwim?
Yeah, so KidSwim is a developmental swim school. I started it 16 years ago in Los Angeles. And I've been teaching for over 30 years, but for the last 16 years, I've kind of put my time and energy into this particular facet of teaching swimming. And when I say developmental, which I've been doing, by the way, forever saying developmental, but people have always kind of been, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? And basically what it means is that we follow an age and stage developmental process that kind of mirrors the American Academy of Pediatrics and their guidelines for developmental growth. And we sort of follow their steps of that because we find that to work in conjunction with what kids are actually doing developmentally, physically, mentally, emotionally anyway, allows for greater understanding over time. And they sort of build this great foundation of what it means to learn to swim, since it's a multi-layered process. It's really there's a lot to it. And I think that for true learning, where you see a child who's older and really swims well, that I believe is a buildup over time that happens from infancy even on forward. And so that's what we really try to promote. That's what our goal is, like to see a 6 or 7 year old child and see that child swimming really well, really proficiently and understanding, you know, how their body works in the water and they're breathing in the water and they're really confident. And that's our goal. That's our end game.
Now, what is a good age to start swimming with your kids? We started with Channing when she was like 6 months old. We live kind of close to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. So we started her there. Yeah. And mostly I think I just wanted to get out and about with her. You know, right, like I was like, let's just do something. So actually she may not have been 6 months. She may have been more like 8 months, but, we got in the water with her and she hated it. Oh my gosh. She screamed like I was torturing her and I felt so bad, but I was like, we're doing this. Did I start her too soon or what is your general age? Do you think?
No, you know, that's a great question. And I'm glad you actually volunteered that information because Here's what's important to note. Babies in particular are the easiest demographic to get acclimated to the water, right?
Right.
At the same time, some babies have, I don't know if it's a sensory issue. I don't know if it's, you know, they're seeing the scope. I mean, the Rose Bowl in particular is a very large pool.
That's a big deal.
And there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of commotion. Sometimes it's overstimulating for children. I'm also guessing the pool temperature, they can't make it as warm as they could if it was a pool that was designed specifically for teaching,
Right? It's a heated pool. It is a heated pool. So it was a little warmer, and because we started classes, I think like in January. So I was like,
okay,
I was like, oh my God, it's going to be cold. But it was one of those weirdly warm Januarys in LA where it was like 90 outside. Right, it was like, right, what's right. happening? Right. But the pool was warm. I think that she just, for her, and I've noticed it's about her growing up, is I think it was a feeling of not being in control a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like she just was sort of like, I'm in this big uncontrollable pool.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, just to comfort everybody out there who's listening, she loves it now. Like I cannot keep her out of the water and out of the pool. She is obsessed with swimming.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that too, because in all honesty, you can't, it is just a phase. And if a baby is introduced to the water and at first they seem like they are just not into it, I usually just tell parents, you know what, just hang back a little bit, let them play on the side, on the steps, here's a toy, you know, bring her into the group if you feel comfortable enough, if she's feels agitated, just hang back. Eventually they get into it. Eventually they get into the rhythm. Sometimes it's just the first lesson that freaks them out.
Right.
Sometimes it takes two or three times, but I have never, if a parent keeps at it, I've never seen a child not end up loving it, because it is such a benevolent experience, you know?
Yeah, she definitely did. I think it was probably about the first, I don't know, maybe a month or so, four lessons or so. And then eventually she calmed down and really got into it and was into the splashing and all of that
stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to that. I think it's hard, though, because as parents, we see our kids crying or upset or hurting in some way, and we want to just protect them. But there absolutely is something to consistency and sticking with it, because I would much rather have dealt with that then when she was little than now when she's four.
Yes.
And me begging and pleading with her to get in the water and, you know, get comfortable. Yeah.
And so that brings me to kind of the part B of your question that you asked, which is the best thing to do, really. And this is kind of like my foolproof prescription when I talk to parents with babies. If they start a baby swim class when the babies are between 6 and 8 months old, I think 6, 7 months old is totally fine, unless they have like a skin condition or ear sensitivity, or the doctor says, you know, you need to wait. Typically babies by 6 months are totally fine to go in the water. And the younger you start them, the easier it is for them to get acclimated, get their face wet, start floating, start gliding. And then if you just keep introducing it to them, you know, kind of on a weekly basis for as long as you can, you carry that through until they're two, they will be swimming when they're two. And it will be without any intensity, without any fear. It'll just sort of happen. But if there's a gap between infancy and then you kind of start it up when they're two or three, it just takes longer.
Yeah.
That's all.
So here is kind of a random question.
Okay.
What about babies who are born in water? Do you think, and you may not even know this, but this is just something my weird thought process was thinking.
Right,
are babies who are born in water more inclined to want to swim and be in water? That sounds so dumb now that I'm saying it out loud.
I wish I had an answer for that.
Everyone listening to me right now is like, what in the heck is she talking about? But I just was thinking about that. I was like, oh, literally a water baby. I've heard that term so many times. I have a water baby.
You know, I wonder, and it would kind of have to be like a social experiment where you'd get a group of moms who have babies, you know, water birth.
I want to see if somebody studied that and found out if babies born in water are more inclined to be swimmers. super random. If anybody out there listening knows, tweet at me and let me know if you have that.
I'd love to know that too, quite frankly. I mean, to be honest, I have no clue. Neither of my sons were born in the water. Surprise, but no, I was like your standard hospital birth with the epidural and everything. But both of them officially started swimming on their own when they were two. And that was just because we put them in the water every day.
Sure. Yeah. Nice. Now tell me a little bit about that. You have two boys, is that
right?
And are they proficient swimmers? When did you say you started them pretty early on?
Yeah, I started taking each of them, and they're 8 years apart. So the
oh wow, God bless
uh-huh,
you.
Uh huh. They
goodness.
You know, it's just the way it worked out, and it's been great for us. So anybody who's wondering about, oh, is it okay to wait longer, for us, it was golden. So I have two boys, and so each one of them I started taking in the water when they were 3 months old. And we have a pool here at our home, and literally every single day of the season when the pool's heated, we take them in. And now that they're 8 and 16, they swim, they jump in the pool and do laps after school. They swim for hours during the summer. My older one was on swim team for a few years. My younger one, not yet. I actually think swim team is better for kids that are just a little bit older than younger, because it's a pretty intense, focused sport during practice. And it's not that social. I mean, you're kind of sensory deprivation in a way. Your head is down, you're in the water, and you're swimming laps. So it's not like it's that exciting when you're doing it, but it is clearly the greatest, you know, activity for growing kids' bodies, because it makes them so strong, and it's so great for their endurance, and it doesn't put any pressure on their bones, which are still growing.
That's so interesting, because swim team and that sort of thing, I've seen flyers going around for, like, you know, mm-hmm. getting like your 4 and 5 year old on a swim team. And I'm like, that does seem awfully intense for her. Like, she loves to just splash around in her, you know, mermaid fins or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So at what age then do you think, or when should parents really start getting them seriously into lessons?
I think this.
It may not even be an age thing, and so it may even be just like a readiness kind of awareness thing.
I think it's both. Okay. I think getting them involved in swim lessons around 2.5 or mm-hmm. 2 and 8 months is a good time to introduce it, so that they learn the structure and the routine and they get involved in it. At that point, getting them acclimated and comfortable and enjoying it is your goal. If they seem to really take to it and you have the time and you can invest in it, twice a week is great, but once a week is adequate too. Once they're about 3.5, that's when you want to actually make it a priority. And from about 3.5 to 5.5, I recommend it being kind of a summer long activity where they go twice a week, maybe even 3 times a week. They take lessons for a half an hour. And then as an added bonus, anytime mom or dad can jump in and practice and just have fun with them, that helps facilitate learning that much quicker.
Good stuff on today's podcast, you guys. Lisa, in just a minute, is going to tell us what she thinks about whether parents should be teaching their kids to swim. So you want to listen to that. But first, I want to talk to you about Nudu, N-U-D-U. That's Nudu. Nudu is a luxury skincare line dedicated to health and beauty. It's made from the purest, most potent natural botanicals and antioxidants that are not only effective, but safe. Let's talk about the Nudu Natural Beauty System. It's a 3-step process. Cleanse to purify, tone to balance, and moisturize to glow. Who doesn't want that glow, right? I do. I know some days my skin feels dry and kind of flaky, and then I use my Nudu Natural Beauty System and I'm glowing again, just like a woman of 35. Go right now to motherhoodinhollywood.com. Click on the Nudu image and that'll take you to Nudu.com, where you can find out more about Nudu helping you create a new you. So that's something I need to be looking into now then, because she's 4. She's definitely comfortable in the water, but she does not know how to swim. And I do not have I know how to swim, but I do not have the skills to be able to teach her by myself. So I definitely want to get her into classes.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I never recommend parents teaching their own kids how to swim, or how to do anything.
Just let other people teach your kids.
Yeah, I mean, what I tell parents is, when you get in the water with your kids, just play with them. Don't have an agenda. Don't try to get them to swim laps for you. Just play with them. Believe me when I tell you that the playing is as important as anything else that they're going to do. So that's what I tell parents. Like, mm-hmm. get in the water and just play with your kids. Have fun with them. Enjoy whatever they want to do. Let them call the shots. Let the instructor do the work. And then something else that is good as an aside is that when children first learn how to swim, they first start swimming on their own, they're really excited, and parents get really excited. And parents then want the kids to swim with them when they're not in lessons. And what happens is initially a lot of kids only think they can swim when they're in their lessons. So it can get a little frustrating for parents where they'll say, she swims with you, why won't she swim with me?
Oh, yeah.
And I say, you know what? Initially, your child is compartmentalizing and they think the only way that they can perform this activity is with these boundaries, with this whole routine as it's established. She will get out, she'll grow out of it. It won't take long. Don't worry about it, but don't stress because it happens. You just have to let her figure out that what she does in one realm, she can do, you know, in a different pool and with different people and at a different time of day. So it just has to, you know, that's a little bit of a connection she has to make.
What do you think is the number one water safety issue facing young kids and parents, really? I mean, what is the number one thing that we need to be aware of this summer?
I think that's such a great question. I think there's two things. I think that number one, understanding what water safety really, really is, and that for parents, the best safety device that any child can have is the parent's eyes on the child. And it sounds easy enough, but we parents are busy and they have a lot going on, and there's always an opportunity to get distracted, even for a second, even in the moment. Mm-hmm. And in truth, if you are with your child at the pool, in the water, like that is your opportunity to be really present with your child and just watch them. Keep your eyes on them. No matter what else is going on, your eyes are on your child. That's the number one safety device for children who are not water safe. The other thing is that there's sort of a misconception right now with things like intensive swim programs that sort of claim that they teach your child how to swim in a week or in 10 lessons or something like that. And what it does is it provides the illusion of safety. So I know it's designed to reduce anxiety in parents. I get that. But what it does in addition to that is it reduces their vigilance. Mm-hmm. And children who've swam for the first time ever in 8 lessons are not water safe children. They're just sort of
repeating kind of what they've seen.
Yes. And they've done it under duress, because they haven't had time to really process everything. So it's like a fight or flight thing. They've been put in a situation where they have to react to it. And so their instincts take over and they just do it because they have to. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So what happens is there's an element of fear and anxiety that is attached to that. And fear and anxiety create a learning block. So what happens is your child has done what they've needed to do in order to basically just save themselves in the moment. But the processing of the understanding of it all doesn't get through. So well, it doesn't.
Yeah. I think it's like a difference of like you said, learning how to save themselves in the moment versus maybe learning how to be a swimmer long-term, like a long-term skill.
Right. Right. Exactly. And the other thing that's true is there is an opportunity for real regression in some of these programs, because some kids get really scared and so it works to their detriment. Like then they won't even get in the water at all after mm-hmm. these programs. So I think you have to be careful with these kind of situations. Some of them, sometimes it works. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but a lot of times it carries with it a lot of negativity. And I sort of ask, like, what's the opportunity cost? Like, why, you know?
Yeah.
So
there's two things I want to ask you about what you just said. So one of them is keeping your eyes on your kids the entire time they're in the pool. Mm-hmm. That is so hard to do during the summer. You're at pool parties. Mm-hmm. Some pools have like a swim up bar, you know, and some parents.
wait, I'm sorry. What
my pool does. My pool has that. I forgot to tell you. It's really just a cooler on the side of the pool.
Okay. That's different.
But you know, like we get, we're at the pool and I think some parents are like, this is my time to relax as well and have fun. And we don't want to spend the entire time watching our kids, or at least I should say, I don't want to generalize all parents, but I think there's that general sense of like, oh, I just want to relax. They're fine. You know, they know how to swim and that sort of thing.
Of course.
And I work for a news station
where
every summer and really here in Southern California year round, I write stories about kids who've been left alone around a pool.
Right.
And it's almost always a home pool or a family at someone's house, where, you know, somebody just went inside really quick to grab something and they come back out and the 2-year-old is face down in the water. Mm-hmm. And it's so, you just feel like as parents, you never get to like, let go and relax. We have to constantly be vigilant. And for me, water safety is so important. Like I'm very nervous, especially at the beach. Mm-hmm. Do you teach swimming when you teach swimming and when you teach how to lessons and things like that, do they also apply to ocean swimming? Because that's a whole other.
It's a whole different dynamic. Yeah. And I generally feel like kids need to be a little older and a little hardier before they start swimming in the ocean. Because that's a completely different animal. I will say that when you have younger children and who, let's say they're not swimming yet, but they love being in the water, and you do want to not have to be, you know, like
hovering,
eyes glued.
Constantly,
There are some very reliable safety devices that you can put on your child. They're like the little, it's kind of a vest with water arms and it locks on and stuff.
I've seen those. That was my next question is what kind of tools can we use when they're in the water? Like floaty, like when I was growing up, it was the arm floaties, you know, which I've heard now, like maybe those aren't as safe and, you know, but the vest you're talking about sounds great.
Yes. Those work and they're good because they don't really inhibit movement, but they do keep your child upright. The child can't take it off themselves. So, you know, the thing with the arm floaties was they were so easy to slip off. I mean, you could just, a kid could slip them off themselves. They would come right off. It's like everything else that we grew up with, that it's amazing we're all alive.
I know. I think about that all the time. My mom's like, I never put you in a car seat. I'm like, what was I in? Did you just lay me in the back seat of the car? And she's like, well, sometimes. I mean,
by the way, I remember being little, like in fourth grade in the summer with a bunch of friends at someone's house and we're all swimming all day. We're in the pool. I don't ever remember a parent sitting out there with us.
Like,
we had it.
It's amazing. It literally is amazing that any of us survives.
Right.
The 70s and 80s.
But for like what you're talking about, you know, in a case like that, wearing a flotation device, I'm okay with. The thing about flotation devices that I caution against is using it as a crutch and having the child get really attached to it, because then they think they can swim, but they can't. And so what I tell parents is keep it hidden, keep it out of sight, and only break it out at times where, like, you're on vacation, you know, you guys are going to Hawaii and you're staying at a hotel where there's going to be a pool. So this way you don't have to be in the water holding your child the entire time. You do have to keep your eyes on them, of course, but they can be independent a little bit more. But don't use it all the time and have them start to rely on it. Like, I still say it's better for the child to be in the water without anything, if possible, because then they really get used to their own body in the water. just goes faster.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love, this is such good information and it's such a good reminder. And I hope that everybody out there who's listening, who is prepping for your summer vacation, for some time at the pool, that you really take this information to heart, because it's super important, and it's, lessons are important. Teaching your kids to swim is important. And being vigilant, that is unfortunately, it is the curse and the blessing of being a parent. Time is no longer your own.
But you know, it does, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Like by the time my kids were 5 and 6 years old, well, you know, they were 8 years apart, but when each of them turned 5 or 6 years old, I could sit in a chair on the side of my pool, if they were the only ones in the pool, and they could swim for hours, and I didn't have to get in with them at that point. So there is, you know, there is the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just for a few years, you have to, you know, you have to kind of be on guard. The one thing I just want to say, because I guess we'll be wrapping up soon, but I
How
wanted
to... How dare you? You don't know if I have more questions. I may have 30 more questions for you, Lisa.
The time. And I thought, okay, I know we have like 20, 30 minutes. But, plus what you were saying before kind of sounded like the wrap up, you know, the gentle wrap up. So I wanted, but I just wanted to say this, that until kids are about 5, when they take a break from fall, winter, which happens, we do, there is that sort of reacclimation period that goes on, where even if they were swimming all summer, like literally swimming, they still kind of forget a little bit. So if, let's say, you're going to be going away for spring break, and they haven't started lessons really yet before the summer, it's always good to get them a couple of refresher lessons so that they're comfortable getting back into the water and they remember what they were able to do. Because some kids actually forget that they can swim between one summer to the next. So it's good to remind them before you take a vacation with them. And then after about age 5 or so, that doesn't happen anymore. But between 2 and 5, expect that there will be a little bit of time where they have to, you know, muscle memory, they have to kind of reacclimate to the fact that, oh yeah, I can swim, you know. So
that is a great reminder. And I was going to ask you something about Michael Phelps, and how you feel like he's changed the face of swimming.
Oh my God.
Are we still mad at him because he smoked a bunch of weed a few years ago, or have we forgotten all of that?
we've all forgotten
okay,
about
good.
It. I'll tell you, you know what? Training is so intense. I don't even think people realize. And you know, I only swam, you know, junior high, high school, and some college. And it was, I know of what I speak on that level. Can you imagine when you are the greatest athlete in the world in your sport, and how intense that is? Like, if you don't smoke a bowl on occasion, then I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, but, my God, that's the best line. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. All right, then Michael Phelps deserves his
He does. Goal. And he has become a face and a hero for a lot of kids. I had so many kids after the Olympics in Not this one that he Yeah, I guess it was 08.
Yeah.
So many kids said to me at the end of that summer, "I want to be on swim team now. I want to be like Michael Phelps." It gives a recognition and legitimacy to the sport that swimming needs. You know, swimming needs heroes, as does every sport, but so many more other sports seem more glamorous.
Sure, sure.
You know? And swimming, it's, unless you've really parlayed your avenue into endorsements, it's not the moneymaker sport.
Right, right. That's true.
But it is, there is nobility in it. It is certainly the one sport you can do and your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the healthiest.
Yeah, it's so good for you.
Over time. Absolutely.
It's something you could do when you're young or old. And that's why, you know, that's why
the only sport you can do it when you're 6 months old, and you can do it when you're 86 years old.
And that's why we love it so much in our family. I love being in the pool. I'm not so much an ocean person. My husband loves being in the ocean, but I love swimming pools. I always have. And I it's really sweet for me to see my daughter have a passion for it as well. And now I just have to get her prepared. I have to take your advice and get her ready. I want to tell everybody quickly that they can go to your website, kidswim.org. A wonderful infographic there about age levels of kids and what they should be learning and what they could be learning during lessons at that time, plus more information on your KidSwim method. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well.
Oh, right.
Social media.
Yeah. You get past a certain age and it is not like breathing, you know, social media is, social media. So we have a KidSwim page, which is on Facebook, which is KidSwim. And then our Twitter is KidSwimLA. And then Instagram is also KidSwimLA. And we've got some fun events coming up too. We do a lot of water safety talks at the park and some articles and guest speaking and stuff. So we always are excited to talk to parents about water safety anytime. So they can contact us at the office if they're interested in having me or one of my associates come out to talk about water safety and answer questions.
Perfect. Awesome.
Well, thank you.
Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show today and putting up with my ridiculous questions.
No, we found humor.
See, there you go. I told you. You know what? The humor found us. Listen, everybody, I'm going to put up some links on motherhoodinhollywood.com for KidSwim and more information about Lisa and her water safety tips. Get you guys prepared for this summer. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.